Chapter 7, Section 2, The Trouble with Maps. I had to find some way of either showing the evolution scale had merit or disprove it and hence get on with my life. I thought this was going to be easy. I couldn't have been more wrong. In his 1962 book On the Diffusion of Innovation, Everett Rogers explained a theory of how new technology spreads through cultures. These innovations are communicated over time through various social structures from early adopters to late adopters, or laggards, and are consequently either spread through adoption or rejected in a society. This spread is measured using adoption versus time through what are known as diffusion curves. As Rogers noted, not all innovation spreads. Even where an innovation has apparent usefulness, a number of factors can influence its adoption. In 1991, Geoffrey Moore refined these concepts and noted that there was a chasm between the early adopters of an innovation and the early majority. Many innovations failed to cross this chasm. Numerous effects would impact the probability that the chasm would be crossed, from positioning of the product to its target market to distribution channels to product pricing and even to marketing. Before we continue, there's often some confusion between diffusion curves and Moore's presentation of this. I don't know why, one is purely the sum of the other. See Figure 72, Diffusion Curves and Moore's Crossing the Chasm. For more details. It seemed self-obvious to me at that time that if something diffused, crossing the chasm on the way to the mass majority, then it would become more of a commodity. All I had to do was find at what percentage of adoption did things on a diffusion curve start to evolve, i.e. at what percentage did it become a product or a commodity? See Figure 73. See Figure 73, when does a diffusing thing evolve? For more details. Unfortunately, as simple as it sounded, any analysis of data shows that Figure 73 is just plain wrong. You cannot take a diffusion curve and slap on evolution. If you take something like a smartphone and ask people whether it's a product or more of a commodity, then today you'll probably get a range of answers and some disagreement. However, there are more smartphones in the US than people, so we can say it's widely diffused despite a lack of clarity over whether it's a product or a commodity. But, if I ask people whether a gold bar is a commodity, then they'll say yes. This is bizarre because only a tiny fraction of the population actually own gold bars. On one hand, you have a thing which is diffused but not a commodity, whilst on the other hand you have something which is uncommon but is a commodity. I spent months collecting diffusion curves for different activities and found there was no clear correlation between a percentage of adoption and when something evolved. I was unable to make statements such as when 10% of the population have this, it'll become a product. Hence, I looked at the time axis. Surely, if it wasn't adoption, then we must be able to measure this evolution over time. I took the diffusion curves and hypothesized that we could measure over time when the transition between stages would occur. For example, the first 5 years would be genesis, and in the next 3 years we would see custom-built examples. However, when looking at the data, then it turned out not to be constant, and comparisons over time demonstrate a wide variety of different timescales for how things evolved. I was stuck. I couldn't seem to use time or adoption to measure evolution. To make matters worse, I was in the middle of a very visible evolution of computing infrastructure from products, for example servers, to more utility forms, cloud. The very companies that could be described as early adopters of computing when it was a product were often the laggards in this shift to a utility world. The act of computing was the same, though it was now provided in a more evolved form, and the social groups leading this change were different from the past. The simplistic association of diffusion and evolution was clearly failing to explain what was happening right in front of me. Even today, in 2016, some 9 years later, then I still see business gurus take diffusion curves and start slapping on evolution characteristics. Here it's innovation and here it's a commodity. I tend to ask them to demonstrate this and I get the usual reply of, well, it's obvious. Alas, it's not, and the it's obvious turns out to be unsubstantiated. If you're feeling evil, then you can test this yourself. Just ask how many years from innovation to commodity and they'll normally reply it's variable. Then ask at what percent adoption does something become a commodity? and they'll normally reply it's variable. Then ask, well, if it's variable in terms of time and adoption, then how have you put a marker on a graph of time and adoption? This should make a suitably uncomfortable moment. It's not that these gurus are daft, but instead it's incredibly easy to fall into that, well, it's obvious state of mind. Back in 2007, my problem was that I had also been lulled into the same confident belief that we somehow understood the process of change and it was obvious. The popular view tends to be that innovations appear somewhat randomly, either through the efforts of a group of people or often by happenstance, for example a fortuitous accident such as the discovery of inkjets through the placing of a hot syringe in a well of ink. These innovations then diffuse as above, some succeeding and crossing the chasm whilst others fail. We often have competing examples, AC versus DC electricity or Betamax versus VHS, until one becomes more established and dominant. Over time, the same innovation becomes a commodity. It feels simple and logical. However, the rate of diffusion is not constant and we cannot measure the change of evolution over adoption or time. Furthermore, whatever process was occurring was not always continuous. As highlighted by Christensen's work on disruptive innovation, an existing industry can be disrupted by the introduction of a new technology that offers different performance attributes from those established. In other words, the diffusion of one thing can be substituted for another. For example, hydraulic excavators disrupted cable excavators and its associated suppliers. However, the same process could also be continuous. These innovations could be improving and sustaining, for example, a better car, a better phone, a better computer, or a more efficient means of steel manufacturing such as the Bessemer converter. It seemed that organizations were competing in an ecosystem with others, and the desire to differentiate was driving the creation of innovations that diffuse, forcing all companies to adapt, the Red Queen Effect, 98, Chapter 3. The innovations themselves appear somewhat randomly, often by fortuitous accident, and whilst some innovations disrupt, others will sustain. Furthermore, the innovations themselves might be novel or represent an incremental improvement to some past innovation, for example a better car rather than the first car. The process of diffusion itself is complex, changing in terms of the rate of diffusion and has pitfalls such as the chasm. Given this complexity, how could I hope to describe a process of evolution? With such an environment, how could any CEO be anything but bewildered and lost by the apparent randomness of competition? Where will the next great innovation appear? Will it be sustaining or a disruptive change? How quickly will it spread? Will it not spread? Will it jump the chasm? Will it impact me? Should we be early adopters or not? Is it any wonder that our ability to predict the future is often lamentable? Is it any surprise that given the fluid nature of our environment we are reduced to hoping to keep afloat by catching the latest wave of change? Is it really that shocking that in practice we're forced to copy what others are doing, to go with the market as we all swarm around new concepts? All of these thoughts were swirling through my mind as I looked at that evolution axis of Genesis, custom, product and commodity on map. It seemed so simple. I had obviously been seduced by this. But it seemed to work. I could find no evidence to support this pattern. I had probably wasted months trying to solve an impossible problem. Help.